Good morning. As we said, we've got a special guest with us today here on our Ashworth Virtual Worship Service, and I'm going to let her introduce herself. She's no stranger. She's actually part of the Ashworth family, and this is Kara Kelly. So, Kara, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself to us?
Thank you, Brent. My name is Kara Kelly, like Brent said. I am an LMHC, which means I'm a licensed clinical mental health counselor. I have my master's in clinical mental health counseling. I'm here in Des Moines, and I'm here to help.
From a mental health perspective, what do you see as some of the things happening in people's lives right now that maybe they weren't prepared for, the issues that because of the pandemic they're having to deal with?
I think the main thing I'm seeing that's getting worse or popping up, of course, is depression, anxiety, irritability, and then interestingly, in some people, some obsessive compulsive type tendencies that I didn't see in them before. And I think that has a lot to do with just the anxiety, because that's where that comes from. So, and also interestingly enough, it's the extroverts in the world that are having a little harder time than the introverts.
Yes.
And that makes perfect sense in my field, because introverts, the way they recharge is to kind of get off by themselves. Mm-hmm. And that's how they get their energy back. Extroverts, which I am one, we need other people.
Yes.
And that's where we get recharged. So if you can't get out and be around other people, you just don't function as well.
Absolutely. That's the difference between me and Pastor Amy. Pastor Amy, I think she jokes about it quite a bit, but there is really a struggle for the extrovert, because you do recharge on that social interaction, and there's so little of that. And to be fair, this is not really doing it for a lot of people. You know, this Zoom calls, you know, that doesn't take care of that need.
No, especially if, I know everybody's heard of the five love languages, but if yours is physical touch, I mean, if you're a hugger or, you know, a high fiver, or and you can't do that, it's really hard.
Well, as we think about those issues, because you talked about depression and anxiety, and even OCD, the obsessive compulsive, how might these things present themselves in somebody's life? Like, how might they see them day to day popping up?
Okay, well, as far as depression, if you are feeling down more days than not, if you're having trouble sleeping, either you're sleeping too much, you're sleeping too little, are you gaining more weight than you should? Are you losing more weight than you should? Does your body feel heavy? You know, and it has to be more days than not, because everybody has days that are up or down. And it has to last 2 weeks or more.
Okay.
So, you know, and if you're not sure and you have people around you, it's okay to ask them what they're seeing, you know.
Okay.
And as far as anxiety, that's more, are you more fearful than normal? Are you having what we call ruminating thoughts, which means you kind of get stuck on a thought? I like to call it the hamster on the wheel.
Okay.
You know, you get on a thought and you just get stuck there, you know. Or are you more fidgety or restless than normal? Once again, are you having trouble sleeping? So, and is it happening more days than not? So kind of what we're looking for in all these things is a break in your norm.
Okay.
You know, what's out of the norm, and is it happening more than usual? And if it is, and you're noticing it, maybe others are noticing it, it might be time to reach out.
What's healthy in this situation versus when does that become a concern? Because like you said, sometimes you might feel down a day or two, but you know, you said if it lasts 2 weeks, so 2 weeks is kind of a guideline there, I guess. What else? What is healthy or normal during this pandemic that people can say, oh, I'm feeling that. Okay, so this is not out of the ordinary.
Well, I think it's normal. Well, as we like to say, you know, is anything you're feeling is your feeling. But you have to, that's the other thing. People get hard on themselves and they're like, well, I shouldn't be feeling this way, or, you know, I'm silly or I'm stupid. Well, no, you're living through a pandemic. I mean, this is not something that usually happens. So, of course, it's normal to get depressed somewhat, or to get anxious, to get irritable because, you know, we can't get out and do our normal things, to feel a sense of grief and loss because there are events that maybe we were supposed to do that haven't happened. It's just when it becomes debilitating. So if you're having trouble doing your daily activities that you normally don't have a problem doing, if you're having trouble keeping up with your personal hygiene, that's a big sign for people with depression. So once again, we're looking for things that are out of your norm. So the human experience is like this, you know, we have ups and downs. But if you find yourself just staying down here, you know, then it's time to get some help, especially if you start having thoughts of death. And not just thoughts of death, but perhaps you're actually thinking of how to do it. You know, then we're getting into an area where we need to get some help. And it's perfectly normal. Everybody has thoughts occasionally of, you know, I'm really down, you know, I'd be better off, whatever. That's a fleeting thought, okay? But if it stays there and it takes up residence, then we need to do something about that.
You know, in the church world, one of the struggles I think sometimes is that when we begin to talk about mental health, there's a stigma that comes with it. It's the Jesus should just fix everything, or if I deal with mental health issues, then I'm weird. You know, how do you deal with that in your practice, in your role, that the people that kind of push back and go, oh no, I've got to push through this or get my faith stronger to deal with this? Because I'm sure you've run into that.
Yeah. Usually the question I ask them back is, well, how's that working for you? You know, because if you were strong enough, if you had enough faith, you know, then what do we need God for? Nothing you do surprises God. You're going to mess up. You're going to be weak. He's still there. You know, that's why we need him. So.
And so this idea of have more faith, or even to take the faith aspect out, just this idea of willpower, you can will yourself through it. I'm assuming you're looking at that going, that's not possible to will yourself through, especially when you reach those debilitating stages.
Right. Or if you have an actual chemical imbalance, you know, all the willpower in the world, or, you know, taking a walk or exercising is not going to replace the serotonin or the dopamine or whatever it is that you have a shortage of.
Oh, absolutely.
So it's okay to ask for help, you know,
right.
And for me personally, I see myself as someone who, you know, someone's burden is too heavy at the moment. So I come alongside and I help you carry that. And hopefully I give you some tools to help you deal with that. You know, my goal is for you to not need me forever. You know, my goal is for you to be able to, you know, not need me after a while.
And I think that's probably maybe part of the stigma as well, is that some people think that if I struggle or if I'm dealing with this today, I'm going to be dealing with this forever. And they think that there's no end, but that's really not the case for most times, right? I mean, sometimes.
Right. For most problems, it's not. I mean, there are some personality disorders and some things like that that are, you know, you can't undo that, but you can definitely help it a lot with therapy and medication. But depression, yes, once you have it, you might be more likely to have it again, but it's not something that lasts for years. I mean, especially if you get help, you know, it can definitely be helped easily. Same thing with phobias, anxiety, anger issues. There's a lot of things that we can do a lot with. Yeah. So it doesn't have to be permanent.
You said something that I think is so critical too, because you said, if you get help, you know, and I think that's part of the reason people struggle, is because they do sit in silence a lot. And why do you think people do that? Why do people push back, other than just maybe the stigma? But what other reasons have you seen that people just would rather sit with what they're dealing with rather than reach out and get help?
Well, there's a couple of things. One is kind of like we talked about, the stigma. A lot of people, they're afraid of looking weak. I mean, we kind of live in a society, and it's not a bad thing, but it's, you know, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, you know, and just suck it up, buttercup, you know. sometimes that works. A lot of times it doesn't. You know, I think some people are afraid they'll be seen as crazy. Especially older people, because I know, like, my parents' generation, you just didn't go to counseling. That just wasn't a thing.
Right.
So I think it's a lot more accepted in the 40s and under. But another thing about people, sometimes, you know, they'll come in and they'll say, well, you know, I've been dealing with such and such or doing such and such for the last, you know, 10 years. And I just, so sometimes you have to ask people, it's like, well, you're doing the same thing over and over. Yeah. So my question is, what are you getting out of that? And usually they'll be like, what are you talking about? And it's like, well, we're human beings. We don't, even if it's a bad thing or whatever, we don't do the same thing over and over unless we get something out of it. So if it's, maybe it's attention, or maybe it's, you know, I don't know. So we have to kind of look at that and see what it is, and then how we can get that need met some other way. Cause you don't want to stay the victim. That's not fun.
Absolutely.
One of the main things is what I tell people is we get up caught up in our heads with that. I call it hamster on the wheel, and I'm not the first one to call it that, but you have to get the hamster off the wheel. And there's several ways to do that. One of those things that you can do, and I like to tell people, it's called grounding. And you can do it anywhere. No one has to know you're doing it. I've had people do it in church, and people who usually have panic attacks, and it makes it go down. They can actually sit there for the rest of the service. And it's very easy. You just look around you, and you start naming off in your head, not out loud, everything you see. You know, like pulpit, pastor, Bible, you know, or every color you see, red, orange, yellow. The thing you're doing is you're projecting, you're thinking outward, you're looking outward at things. So that stops this, and you'll be surprised at how fast that anxiety, or it's even good with people who have some anger issues, how fast it goes down. The other thing that I give people, I try to give people something when they leave my office, even the first time. And this is something that you can teach your kids too. And because kids get anxiety.
Oh, absolutely.
Too, you know? So this is called five-finger breathing. And so it's sort of a deep breathing thing. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but what's good about it is you're deep breathing, and then just touching your hand is a calming thing. Okay. So will you breathe in on the up and hold for like four, if you can, if two is okay, out on the down. And so you're just doing this. So you can do that with your kids, you know, like.
I could see how a lot of people could use it. Like you said, it can be helpful with anger, with anxiety, with a lot of things to help refocus your mind.
Well, and they've done studies that even 5 minutes every morning of deep breathing, it's almost like a vaccine for the rest of the day. It kind of gets you prepared. So there's a free app out there called Calm, C-A-L-M, and it's free, and it's a deep breathing app. There's nothing else like Eastern religion attached to anything. It's just deep breathing, and it's very good. And there's another one called Abide, which is a Christian meditation app, and so they have messages like every morning, every evening. It's really great.
But you know, it's interesting that you said it kind of in jest, like there's no Eastern religious things type, because there really is even with this specifically, I think some Christians struggle and they go, oh, that's that, you know, they'll put like words like that voodoo or that Eastern meditation, or they'll, you know, what Buddhist kind of thing. And they'll think, oh, Christians shouldn't do that. And so because we have that in our mind, or somebody, you know, usually it's some traveling evangelist in our past that came into our churches and made a statement that stuck with us, and we resist those things when really there are physiological benefits to the human body, like you were saying, the studies that have been done, to just take 5 minutes of deep breathing in the morning. And
we could look at the pandemic. I mean, it's bad, but it's also given us a chance to slow down, you know? And so we can either not take the opportunity, or we could take the opportunity to learn some deep breathing exercises, to learn some coping skills. So we do go back out there in the 90 mile a minute, you know, world, we can do a better job. It would take time to, you know, get back in touch with God and scriptures and people that we haven't been doing phone calls with or something, you know? So there's benefits too.
One of the things, I'll just throw this out there, you know, that I've been dealing with personally, and I mentioned to you before we were recording, was, you know, one of the things I struggle with is just sometimes I feel like I'm on this roller coaster where some days I feel great and some days I feel like I'm just like, you know, the depression or just the struggle of, okay, is this ever going to end? How do we deal with that? What are some, you know, what are things that would help me in being able to deal with that daily roller coaster I seem to be on?
Oh, well, first of all, know that it's normal. Probably everybody else is going through it too. And there's a good reason for it. I mean, we've never been through something like this before. The other thing is, like I told you before, is that most things we have an end, you know, where they'll say, okay, at the end of 30 days, your trial subscription expires, you know, or in 10 days, this is going to happen. Well, we were kind of told that, and then it kind of keeps getting set back because we're learning things as we go. But that's very upsetting. You can't get your footing, you know? And as human beings, we like to put stuff in boxes, you know? We like to check off and be done, you know, and move on to the next thing. And we just feel like we're kind of in this circle, just going, kind of like we're the hamster in the wheel.
We are the hamster. You know? I had that thought, yeah.
Yeah. So, how do we deal with that? First thing is one, realize it's normal. Two, kind of like a lot of these things, I tell people is just move, you know, don't sit there and veg out for 6 hours on the TV or the video, you know, move. I don't care if it's getting up and going up and down the hallway in your apartment. You know, if you can get out and exercise, it's even better, you know. Also, we're kind of in this limbo state. So I've heard people say, man, I don't feel like I've done anything really for like the last, you know, 4 days. So make a routine, you know, write it out. And the other thing you can do is just take a blank sheet of paper in the morning and everything you do, write it down. I don't care if it's changing the toilet paper and the toilet paper roll. So by the end of the day, you've got a list and you're like, wow, I really did do 25 things today. Okay. I mean, maybe you didn't change the world, but I mean, you actually did stuff. So that can be a sense of accomplishment in and of itself. And then trying to keep in contact with people, you kind of have to get creative, yeah. You know? So there's so many things like Snapchat and Zoom and Duo and Marco Polo. And, you know, I know people that are having like virtual pizza parties, they're playing virtual game nights, you know, so, and don't wait around for someone to always reach out to you, you know?
Here's just one other question for you, because I think, you know, I think I can recognize it in me, but sometimes I might not recognize it in others. If we're looking, you know, what do we look for in other people that might be some warning signs or things that maybe we need to lean in more to help them with what they're going through?
Yeah, well, kind of like what we talked about with the anxiety and depression, but if you notice, you know, someone that you care about, they're not taking care of themselves, maybe such as like their personal hygiene, maybe they're putting on weight or losing weight too quickly. Maybe they're extremely fidgety or they're having trouble with memory, which is what we call brain fog. And that can come with depression. Maybe they're drinking alcohol when they didn't used to, or they're drinking more than they did before. So once again, we're kind of looking for things that are out of the norm for these people. And, you know, I always tell people, go with your gut. You know, if you just feel like something's off, you know, it's okay to ask people, how are you feeling? You know, or I'm noticing this. Have you noticed that? You know,
just one final, you know, as we wrap up here, do you have any other thoughts or comments that you would just like to share with our people and just say, hey, this is what I would want you to know from a mental health perspective?
Well, there's a few things. I'll try and keep it brief.
No, go ahead.
One thing, and this is going to sound a little silly, but I want people to realize if they don't already, is that men and women really are different despite what we hear in the the media. So, with men, a lot of times depression will show up as irritability. So I've had women go, you know, my husband has anger issues, but when I talk to him, that's not it. He's depressed, you know? And so a lot of men, especially with the whole job situation, the way it is right now, a lot of men get, a lot of their identity and worth through their career or their job. And so it's really hard for them right now, you know? One of the first things I ask people when they come in and they are depressed is, are you taking a multivitamin? Are you drinking enough water? Because, you know, are your B12 levels okay? Because these are all things that can come across or exacerbate depression. Mm-hmm. And so you would be surprised, you know, if you get enough vitamin D3 and B12 and water, and, you know, it can make a big difference. And one other small coping skill, which is going to sound silly, but once again, they've done a study, is, and I have a fun little story about it too, is make yourself smile. So just the fact of turning your lift your lips up. It sends a trigger message to our brain, and it actually kind of makes us feel happier even, you know. But I had one client, she came in and she's like, well, that didn't work. I felt like an idiot. And I was like, what are you talking about? And she goes, well, I felt better. She goes, but I felt stupid. And I was like, well, what did you do? And she goes, well, I was in Hy-Vee and I thought I'd do it while I was shopping. So I just kept doing this and people were looking at me. I was like, yeah, I left that part out. Try and do it by yourself. Yeah.
If you do it in Hy-Vee, be prepared that people may think you've lost your mind.
Or I guess you could do it now behind your mask.
Exactly. Exactly.
It would be okay. And then the last thing is, for me personally with my clients, especially my Christian clients, is that, you know, I just remind them that God is our shepherd. Mm-hmm. And so the shepherd, you know, he leads us beside the still waters, right? So he's not a drama king, right? He doesn't like to stir the pot like the world does. So he'd rather it, you know, the peaceful. And he watches over us. If we get out of line, he kind of brings us back. He'll even put us over his shoulders and bring us back if he has to, you know. And the shepherd, like you've talked about, he'll actually lay down a cross to keep the wolves, you know,
right,
out. So you just, with everything that's going on around us and everybody shouting at us that, you know, it's never going to be the same, everything's horrible, the end of the world, you know, you have to remember who's in control. And yes, it can be scary to realize how little control we actually have over things, but it can also be freeing because it's not up to us. It's up to God. And look what he does, you know. I mean, he's very capable. He doesn't change.
And as you were talking about practical things, I had the thought, sometimes the most practical thing you can do is turn off the television, period, and stop with the 24/7 news cycle of doctors and politicians and everything else.
Absolutely.
Because that just feeds into it, right? I
mean, yeah, yeah. Especially, and this is weird, but it's true. A lot of people who have been diagnosed with generalized anxiety disorder, they gravitate towards 24-hour news cycle and true crime shows. So one of the first things I tell them is stop with a capital exclamation point. It's like, this is not helping. It's not helping at all.
Well, Kara, you have been a wealth of information today and really some great practical things that we can do. And, you know, and I think here at the end, the big thing too is we want to say just don't, if you need help, seek help. There is nothing wrong with you. You are normal. Whatever normal is, we're all abnormal in our own way. But
right.
There is no shame in seeking help. To me, there's shame in not seeking help when you need it. And very soon, we don't know exactly when, but Kara didn't know I was going to say this, but she's actually going to be setting up a practice. She's been furloughed right now from her previous job. And so she's using this time to begin to work on setting up her own practice here in Iowa. And so I will make sure that when that is up and running, that we get that information out to our people so that they can look you up if they were needing some help. So
a good place, excuse me, to look is on Psychology Today.
Okay.
It's called Find a Therapist, and you can put in your search criteria, so Christian therapist, marriage, family, whatever anxiety in your area, and you can find a list, and then you can call. The other thing I just want to get in there is that your therapist client is a relationship, so, and there has to be chemistry, so if you get there and it's just not clicking, it's okay to say, you know what, I think I'm going to look somewhere else. So, because you have to take care of you, you know, you have to find what works.
Right.
Because it's very hard to walk into an office and just spill your whole life story to someone you just met, you know, 3 minutes before. Yeah. So if you don't feel that connection, it's okay. You're not going to hurt our feelings. And if you hurt our feelings, we weren't your therapist anyway.
Right. If we hurt your feelings, you are trained to know how to deal with it. So
we're supposed to be. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time out today. I really appreciate it. I think this has been very helpful. Thank you, Kara.
Thanks for having me. God bless you.